show. This is Cliffo and Gabby's catch up.
Hey, Potus, thank you for downloading. It's Cliffo and Gabby. A real frightening start to my morning this morning. I was driving to work. I'm in the left lane. It was a double lane road. I'm driving the speed limit, 80 kilometres, when two, I think, stolen cars fly past me, Gabs. I reckon going maybe 120, 130 Ks and then swerving right in front of me. I'm a fight guy, not a fight guy.
Yeah.
Say fight or flight. And I completely panicked and just froze.
If you're a fight guy, though, like, there's still nothing you can do. Like, you just want to distance yourself from these people as quickly as you possibly can. Like, just ease off the accelerator and let them go because you don't want to be getting involved in that.
Yeah, you're right. It totally, for me, drove home, like, how bad the car stealing problem is in regional Queensland. Mm. Like, we have some of the worst rates in the country.
Yeah.
And often it's young people, and I don't know, it made it real for me, that situation where my heart sank.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, like, it's the first time I've actually felt, and it was only in such a small way, directly affected.
Yeah.
And by the problem.
To be honest, I think for me, I would actually prefer my car to be stolen than to be in a situation like that where they're speeding past me, because it can put you in danger.
I came straight to work and
You were shook.
I was shook and made a coffee, which was probably the wrong thing to do.
Caffeine, not good for fried nerves. Caffeine,
not good at all.
No.
No. But thank you for downloading the Catch Up podcast, everyone. I promise it gets a lot lighter coming up in the Catch Up today.
Last week I did reveal that I'm the confronter in my relationship, and Cliffo, you then went on to say that you feel like in heterosexual relationships the female is always the confronter. You are definitely not.
No.
And it was an overwhelming response from listeners to say the same. Are you the confronter?
Yes, I'm always the bad cop.
Give us an example.
You go to a restaurant and the meal's not very good.
Yeah.
And he'll always be like, no, we'll just not go back here again. I'm like, no, we're not paying for this. We have to say something.
Yeah. That's what I do, Sue. I'm like, got to be nice to everyone. Yeah. Don't want anyone to not like
just
you.
Just eat it anyway.
Me, Sue's husband, Nav, your fiance, we all will not confront.
Well, I confronted you yesterday, Cliffo, to make you more confrontational. And I've actually found someone who might be able to help you out in the first stages. Dr. Samantha Hardy-Lawson joins us right now. She is a conflict coach, and she actually has a PhD in conflict management. So she's right up there. She joins us. How are you, Dr. Samantha?
I'm good, thank you. I'm so looking forward to working with Cliffo on this one.
I can't say the same thing, unfortunately. So, Sam, is it normal that one person in the relationship is the confronter? Is that like a normal kind of setup?
I think it is. I think we get into patterns of interactions in our relationships, and one person tends to be the one who's the confronter and the other person's the one who just wants to get along, wants everyone to like them.
It's a good bit of balance, but would it be beneficial if Cliffo had a few more confrontational skills under his belt so that he could take the blow every now and then?
Yeah, absolutely. Because you know what happens when you're not a confronter and you just want everyone to like you all the time, you build up this resentment because you're kind of always giving up what's important to you and it festers away. And what tends to happen, I don't know if this happens to you, Cliffo, but it builds up and one day it explodes and everyone's like, where did that come from? You know, some little thing tips you over the edge. Does that happen to you?
Yeah. And then people are like, oh, he has a temper, but he just must hold on to it all the time.
Yeah.
So what you're saying is, so you're better off to have these little confrontations frequently than one big one every 6 to 12 months.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because the little ones you can manage, you can repair them. The big ones are really hard to come back from.
True. All right. So if it were a scenario where, for example, he got served a cold dish at lunch and he wanted to return it, what are the tips and tricks you have to be comfortable in speaking his mind?
I think you've got to weigh up what the benefit is of not saying anything, that people like you, but you have a cold lunch, or, you know, standing up for yourself and maybe other people who might get a cold lunch after you if you don't speak up on their behalf in a way. But I think it's also about being really polite. Don't apologise for raising a concern. It's not your problem. If they've done the wrong thing, you don't apologise on their behalf, but be really polite about it. I noticed that this dish is cold and I really wanted a hot dish. Wondering what you can do about that. And sort of put it back to them. Or even better, I'm wondering what you can do to help me, because nobody wants to not help.
I'm glad that you said don't apologise on their behalf, because that would be my natural thing. I'd go up and go, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry.
I'm sorry, it's cold. I'm sorry, can you fix it? I'm sorry.
So just kind of just tinge everything with super politeness.
Yeah, super polite, and then ask them what they can do to help you, because nobody wants to not help. If you say, what can you do to help me with this? Most people will try to help you, whereas if you say, so I want this or I want that, they'll fight back. Whereas if you ask them to help you, most people want to try and be helpful.
That's a really good point. Have you got any other hints there? Like, is it like, does he need your power pose beforehand to build up the confidence?
Oh, Jesus.
Is there anything like that?
I would say try to mirror the other person's body language. So don't try and stand over them. If they've got their arms folded, fold your arms.
Okay.
If they're not listening, you might have to start speaking a little bit loudly, but then try and bring it back to a calm voice. So you might say, excuse me, I would like to talk to you about the meal that I have. So you can kind of encourage them to come to meet you in a nice, calm spot in the middle. Because, you know, it never works when you say to someone, just calm down, right?
Yeah, God, it does the opposite every time, doesn't it?
All right, well there's some good tips and tricks there for you, Cliffo. And next stage is actually getting you to confront someone.
This I'm really not looking forward to, but I guess it will be made easier with your tips. Dr. Samantha Hardy, who is a conflict coach. And an expert in the subject. Thank you so much. We'll let you know how it goes, Dr. Sam.
Yeah, good luck. Good luck. You can do it.
We're never gonna get one on.
Never gonna get one on.
Never gonna get one on.
Never gonna get one.
We threw it out there earlier this morning that we wanted to talk to someone who is on OnlyFans or who has an OnlyFans page, because it's a fairly new concept and one we're really interested to know more about. And we do have someone on the line with us right now by the name of Cherry Dana, who is an OnlyFans superstar. How are you, Cherry?
Good. How are you?
Good. Thanks for getting in contact with us. This is fantastic. So OnlyFans is a website where people pay for the content you make. That's the idea behind OnlyFans, Cherry. Tell us, if someone hands over some of their hard-earned cash, if they subscribe to your OnlyFans, what do they get in return?
For my specific OnlyFans, I create more adult content, so selfie videos, photos, I don't know, it's kind of more like a fun environment. On my OnlyFans, I get to chat and meet my fans and interact with them, and it's just a good space. I find it's a lot easier and a safer environment than people just sliding into your DMs on Instagram or Facebook.
Right.
It's more personal.
So how much does it cost to be a subscriber to your OnlyFans?
For my OnlyFans, I have it at $9.99 a month.
A month.
Okay. And do you ever get judged for your chosen career by other people?
100% all the time.
How do you deal with that?
I guess the more I just work on myself, and if anything I find that triggers me, I just look at to why I'm being triggered, and then I walk away and I work on why it's triggering me. What? I'm not responsible for how other people react to what I do.
And why do you think they react that way? Why do you think people judge you?
Some of this stigma that society has around an industry that people aren't informed about. And I think people respond this way out of fear and not knowing enough about something.
Last but not least, I have to ask you about this because our producer, Brooke, has sent through a note. It says here that you are sick to death of the dating scene. You would rather hire a male escort for $500 an hour. It's a service you have used 3 times over the last 6 months. Is that really better, is it, than dating?
Look, to be honest, I think having a larger social media does make it a little bit hard. That I have found over the times that people are more interested in getting to know Cherry rather than getting to know Dana, which is my personal name and me as an individual. And so I do think it takes out the games, the manipulation, and somebody just, I say, gaslighting me. Whereas if I'm just paying for that and there's no emotions attached, there's no games, there's... Yeah, I just find it easier.
Okay, well, hey, You've made a go of it. And for that, I have to, I think we all admire you.
Yeah.
And I mean, and just to go back to, for the people who judge you and all that, like how many thousands of Australians work in the adult industry in this country? Mm-hmm. Like, pull your head out
of
here.
Oh, there's so many.
Yeah, I know. I don't understand that. Like, it is literally not exactly what you do, but the adult industry is the oldest industry in the world, quite literally. So, and you've definitely carved your niche in that world. Cherry Dana, thanks for calling us for Cliffo and Gabby's Never Gonna Get One. That was great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Beef Australia 2021 wrapped up last week.
Beef
in
week.
Rockhampton. Beef is just absolutely huge. It's a massive celebration, celebrating all things beef. 39 Australian politicians in attendance, 12 diplomats, 1 prime minister, and a partridge in a pear tree.
So that's all we got to do if we need to talk to the prime minister is put a steak on. And he's there.
ScoMo's there, mate.
All right, it's good to know.
What got me about beef this year, though, was the sheer amount of beef that was consumed at the 2021 festival. And organisers have come out with the exact amount. 63 tonnes of beef was consumed.
Wow.
Last week.
That's a lot of beef.
That is the equivalent of 2 full semi-trailer loads. So eat
it. That's a lot of steaks.
That's a lot of steaks. And I am a person who is, well, fascinated by food, but particularly in the, like, consumption of large amounts of food.
Like
for
those
example,
food challenge type things.
My favourite thing is man versus food in the world. Like, we turned off Foxtel because it's expensive and that, but no, it's just watching repeats of man versus food, pretty much.
It's like $30 a month to watch just to reruns watch of man versus food.
Something I could buy every season of for probably $30. but, yeah, those people who sit down and do food challenges.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not really for me. I'm not much of a food challenge kind of guy because I like to enjoy food.
Yeah, it would make me feel sick.
But yeah, sitting down there, like chowing into these massive challenges, stretching your stomach out, even it's definitely an art form.
You know, like those hot dog eating competitions and stuff as well.
All that
and
stuff.
Normally it's the smallest person who consumes the most amount. I'm
crazy.
Like, where are you putting it?
The fat guy never wins.
No!
There's like steak eating challenges and
burgers.
I've seen ones before, like burger ones and Mexican places that'll have like a burrito or taco.
Like a 2-kilo burrito.
Who can eat, like a 2-kilo burrito or like 30 tacos or whatever.
Yeah.
But 13, 10, 60, gonna put it out there right now. What's the most amount of meat you have eaten in one sitting? It's probably gonna be one of these food challenges.
Or one of those mixed grills you can buy.
Doesn't
sometimes
have to be, though.
Sometimes they can be huge.
I just want, on 13, 10, 60, tell us the time you, or maybe you just witnessed someone, you've been there for it, but someone just eating a crazy amount of meat in one sitting.
Maybe you were at Beef Week and you ate that whole
maybe
ton
you're at
to
beef.
Yourself.
Yeah, 13, 10, 60. There's one guy there, like he's the size of a small building. But 13, 10, 60, if you've done this before or you know someone who has, what's the most amount of meat that's been consumed in one sitting off the back of a whopping 63 tonnes of beef consumed 2 semi-trailer loads during 1 week in Rocky over the last week for Beef Australia 2021? We want your stomach expanding stories. Ryan on 13, 10, 60. Mate, what's the most amount of meat you've eaten in one sitting?
Okay, so this one time in a food challenge, I managed to do 9 schnitzels in one sitting.
Nine
schnitzels.
What kind of food challenge was it?
I was at a Bavarian restaurant, so, when I finished it all, got it for free, so just mind over power.
mind over matter.
How big were the schnitties, Ryan? Because I've seen schnitties before, like bigger than the dinner plate, like actually off the size, like sizes of the plate.
Or was it like a big nugget?
Decent size schnitties?
At least the size of a plate, like
none
big.
Of them.
That's impressive.
How'd you go at the end of that, mate?
Well, I thought I was pregnant at the end of it, so it was pretty bad.
Food baby.
Good on you, mate. 13, 10, 60. Ashley's here. Ashley, what's the most amount of meat you've eaten in one sitting?
So a couple of years ago, I ate 57 McDonald's chicken nuggets, and I have been a vegetarian ever since.
Wow. Okay.
Did you...
57 McDonald's chicken nuggets.
Was it the day after a big night?
No, it actually wasn't. It was just part of a bit of a friendly dare or comment. One of my friends said that because I wasn't a huge eater.
Was this during their, you know, 20 nuggets for $10
it was.
Promotion?
Yeah, of course it was.
You want to be not paying full price for nugs
I reckon
if you're going to buy that many.
I reckon I've probably done 57 nuggets at the end of a big night. I just don't remember.
Yeah, probably just did. I've got to be honest, though. Those 20-pack boxes are big. You've done. By the way, kind of disappointing you didn't do 60. Like, you're only three away.
Three away.
Could have. They ate them. Because it took me so long,
Cop
I
out.
Started eating them.
Yep. Buddy Seagulls. $1,000 on the line in the morning, and we give away an answer every single day.
The answer that you need is turkey. Gobble, gobble, gobble.
The thing that is on the dinner table every Thanksgiving in the States.
I love turkey.
A turkey. Yeah, man.
When I was
just get it at the deli and have it on a sandwich.
Oh, well, when I was in Canada, we had turkey for Thanksgiving and then we had so much leftover turkey. There was leftover turkey sandwiches, turkey lasagna, turkey soup. Yeah. We had all the turkey. It was great.
It's like Bubba Gump shrimp in Forrest Gump. Shrimp everything, turkey everything. And turkey is an Alpha Bucks answer. So the letter's T tomorrow. For Alpha Bucks, it hit.
Cliffo and Gabby's dating tips from yonder.
This is where I find old school dating tips and see how they've aged. Because single ladies out there, you never know. You might find a nugget of gold in this advice.
There was a great series, and get this, just download the Catch Up podcast at the Listener app, of a video series of a dude called Woody.
Yeah.
And Woody we ran out of Woody adventures.
Date.
Yeah. And the guy was talking like this and giving tips to Woody. No, Woody. You open the door for her. That's what a gentleman does.
Well, it's funny you say that because today's advice is all about opening doors as well.
Ah.
So this is a different dating video. It's from 1967 and it's a US Navy training video titled How to Succeed with Brunettes. we've dived into that name in the past.
I love how specific it is.
Yeah, it's only about dating brown-haired women. But it's all done in two parts. The first part is the attitude that I guess some Navy men had that they were highlighting to be very wrong, and then they would correct it and tell you how you should be behaving and treating a woman. So this, when it comes to opening doors, is what not to do.
Sure, treat her as an equal. Women like that. Besides, if you're late, there's no sense wasting time on things she can do for herself. Let's face it, sometimes there's just not enough time for good manners. Right?
I know that's the don't list, but there's still something about a man, like with a deep voice like that, saying, women like that. That just doesn't sit.
It doesn't sit
right with me.
I know. Well,
tell me more.
Tell
man
me.
Man in his 50s about what women like.
That's so true. Let's move on, though, to the same Mr. Voiceover Man telling you how to treat a woman when it comes to opening doors.
Yes, doors do offer an excellent chance to make a good impression. It's a way to show your respect for ladies, thoughtfulness, making things easier for someone else. This is at the heart of good manners and in the heart of every gentleman. Besides, it's the way to succeed with brunettes.
Ooh.
It's the way to succeed with brunettes opening the doors. If you're dating a blonde, however,
open your
bets are off.
Bloody door.
Robotic things can make life easier. Like, I love the idea of a robotic vacuum, like one of those little things that just do their own thing and clean up your house on your behalf.
But then we
Big
had
fan.
Kyle Felt from the North Queensland Cowboys in once, and it ran over his dog vomit. The cat vomit.
Cat vomit.
It?
Yeah.
Well, it ran over vomit and just put it all over the house.
Yeah, so occasionally, it might go wrong, but on the plus side, it does your vacuuming for you majority of the time. You don't have to worry. I love that. However, I think it's gone too far because I was sitting down and watching TV last night when an ad came on for a very similar invention to the robotic vacuum, but it's a robotic lawnmower. It looks kind of similar. Like, it looks like a push lawnmower without the handle, but it moves around by itself and mows your lawn without you having to control it. And my first thought was, who the hell wants roaming blades? Like, I just...
Yeah.
I feel it's really unsafe.
Let's be honest. The stakes are a little bit higher.
A little bit higher.
Vacuum.
Yes.
You know who's licking their lips, just rubbing their hands together? Jim's mowing. They're like, mate, we'll never break another sweat again.
Yeah. Just press go.
This is the best.
But I don't feel safe if there's robotic lawnmowers around the place. Yeah. Because
they're already a dangerous item.
They're a dangerous item. When I was growing up, I used to do the mowing for my family. We had 2.5 acres. So there was a lot of lawn.
Right on.
Yeah, good. And before we were allowed anywhere near the lawnmower, we had to have a full briefing with my dad, like an OH&S briefing, where he gave us all the rules around the blades, how you do it, how you don't do it, where you put your fingers, where you don't put your fingers.
Bob's there with a clipboard.
Yes. Sit down the side chair.
TIFF passes. Yes. Gabby.
Not this time.
Maybe come back in a week. Try again.
Maybe I am being a little bit pedantic, but 13 10 60. Oh, I want to cement my fears. Have you had a lawnmower injury? Because my dad used to warn us about all the injuries that could occur from a lawnmower, and he would scare us straight, right? So I wonder on 13, 10, 60.
You want to scare the world straight.
But I want to know if it's an actual thing or if Bob was just trying to scare me.
Mate, it's totally a thing. Like spinning blades.
Spinning blades.
Flying rocks.
Right.
My brother's lawnmower injury wasn't what you'd expect. My brother, legit, one of his front teeth is half enamel now.
Really?
Because he tripped and he hit his tooth on the front bar, like on the handle or whatever.
That's not what you expect.
And he chipped half a tooth off. So,
wow.
And I thought they'd have to remove the tooth and put a fake
nah,
in.
Cap.
But no, they, yeah, is that what
straight
it's called?
Back on, yeah, they just put a cap on
but
it.
If you look really, really closely,
you can see the line.
You can see the line where the real tooth ends. But that was just a trip. Hit it.
Yeah.
Boom. Well, blood everywhere.
Oh, I bet. 13, 10, 60. Who has had a lawn mower injury? And I want to put these stories out into the world so that everyone's got enough information before buying a roaming blade for their backyard.
Mate, Victor is listening in very, very closely.
You need to know
this segment.
The warnings.
13, 10, 60, hit us up with your lawnmower injuries. Melissa's here. Hey, Melissa.
Hey.
What happened to you, Melissa, with the lawnmower?
So it was actually my sister.
Yeah.
She decided to, when she was emptying the grass cutter, decided to stick her hand in to empty it while the lawnmower was still on.
Oh, my God.
And she almost severed the tops of her fingers. She actually had to have surgery to repair them.
But why was she sticking her hand in there? Because, you know, I've got a mower with a catcher. You just lift
you just
it off.
Take
There's
it off.
No reason to put your fingers on the inside.
I think because the grass was slightly wet and it was all stuck in inside,
oh,
so she was trying
no,
to.
No,
get it always off. Turn the blades off before reaching in.
Well, she knows that now. She's actually not mowed her lawn since then.
No,
so.
I don't blame her.
I don't blame her either.
Leave the grass in there. Like, shove the catcher back in. It'll go somewhere eventually. 13, 10, 60. Amanda, good morning.
Hi.
Was it you or someone else, Amanda, that had an injury from a lawnmower?
A guy I went to school with in grade 7.
Oh, okay. That's young to be mowing the lawn, but I get it. What did he do?
Yeah. There were grass catching up in the lawnmower, put it on its side and was taking out some of the grass from the side and the mower wasn't off and lost two fingers.
I mean, another one.
That
Turning
is like
a lawnmower on its side.
That is lesson number one.
It just becomes this little wall of death.
Wall of death.
Like anything that touches it.
Oh, don't go buy yourself a robo lawnmower, guys.
Yeah, well, Gabby.
If you want to lose some fingers, maybe. But.
Single-handedly killed that idea this morning, haven't you? The Hit Breakfast Show.